Living with Maderly. Living with Maderly. Living with Maderly. Maderly. Living with Maderly.
Hello and welcome to Living with Maderly. This is a TV nostalgia podcast. My name is Andre Agassi and I am joined by Leanne Battersby. How are you going?
Booyakasha. Good.
Booyakasha. Imagine Leanne Battersby saying that on Coronation Street. Booyakasha. No, seriously, my name's Andrew and his name is Liam. This is exciting times, I think.
Season's greetings.
Season's greetings, yeah. So when you listen to this, it'll be December, and we're going to try our best to do the 12... Well, you want to call it the 12 Maidleys of Christmas. I think the 12 Days of Maidley sounds better, so we might keep swapping, what do you think?
Yeah, by the time this goes out, it'll be released with a title, so we will have known. But this is, we're recording in November. We're doing a Jules Holland, aren't we? We've got the festive sort of decorations out, but it's still November.
Yeah. So, because to get 12, we're trying to get 12 episodes in for Christmas, all Christmas-themed episodes. We're going to have to record in November to get ahead of the game, aren't we, really? Like, we're both very busy people.
Yeah, so we're having a mulled wine with Christmas songs on the radio and we're in the festive spirits.
I've actually been watching Christmas Top of the Pots from 1986 today.
Is that one of the episodes we're doing or just
out? No, it's just what I do in my spare time.
What are you doing it?
Yeah, that's what I do. But anyway, first up, we have got something that everyone's been asking for ages, is to do an episode on The Office. We were going to do it last year, but here it is, The Office Christmas Special.
So first thing I'll say is we're doing Christmas themed episodes. So this is about the two part Christmas special. Obviously, there are two series that precede this. So we're not doing this about that. We might come back to The Office. But basically, a really quick summary. There was a BBC mockumentary, so a spoof documentary, and it was set in an office in Slough. Wernham Hog was the office, and it's a paper mill. And the backstory in its very simplest form is we had an office manager who clearly was operating at a decent level, but a camera crew came in and he just focused on being an entertainer rather than an office manager. And the last thing that we saw in the final episode of series two, he lost his job and Dawn, the receptionist, had moved to America. They're the two key plots points you need to know.
But the very end of the second series, Tim, another big character in this, asked Dawn out and Dawn turned him down. So it was a really sad ending because they didn't know they were going to make a Christmas special. And so Brent's lost his job and Tim and Dawn don't get together.
And I quite like that, to be honest, because that's life, isn't it? You know, things aren't finished perfectly. And that was it. We weren't expecting any more. But this is 3 years later now. And we've gone back. It's almost like a where are they now, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the BBC have decided to commission this Christmas special to look back on this documentary they made. And we're going to meet all the different characters again and see what they're up to. So that's where we start. I'll play it could get quite clip heavy because as with so many of the stuff we've done, this is brilliant, by the way. I'm not going to save judgment for the end. I think it's fantastic TV.
It is. I've got this on DVD, and I haven't watched it, obviously, because who has DVD players anymore? But I put it in and got it on to watch it, and I forgot how good it was, to be honest, all laughing all the way through it.
I've watched this so many times. I reckon I've watched this with you about 20 times, and I've probably watched it, I don't know, loads and loads of times on my own. But, yeah, anyway, we'll start off with Brent kind of setting the scene of how he thought the series went.
And the BBC must have taken away about 8 hours of footage a day, and they got it back. And most of it was like, you know, oh, look, he's a good guy. He's getting on. He's their friend as well as their boss. He's a motivator, an entertainer. Lots of good stuff. Oh, he's made one mistake, like any human would. Should we just cut that out? No, what? Put that bit in. Cut the other stuff out. We want a scapegoat. We want a dumb down. We want to give them the biggest plonker of the year. You know. I'm not a plonker.
I'm not going to slag it off. I suppose I am in a way, but they're quite formulaic, like a lot of Brent's things, where he does a kind of, you know, he does a statement, then pauses, and then adds or contradicts himself at the end. And
yeah,
not one of his best. That I'm not a plonker.
But yeah, I like the one of the ones that stands out is in the series where he says, he's talking about dogs. He's trying to make a crap metaphor, and he goes, and that's Crofts. You know, I mean, I love that. This is not one of his best ones. I have to admit, I remember watching this when it first came out. I think you lot were out, because I remember being gutted at home. I worked day after, so I couldn't go out. I think you went to Gatecrasher banging tunes. And I was sat at home watching this, and I remember watching that the first 2 or 3 minutes, and obviously it had not been on for 3 years. I was so looking forward to it. And the first 4 or 5 minutes, I was thinking, oh, it's not as good, but luckily it is as good. And when I look back, it is still good, the first 4 or 5 minutes, but I think I was expecting that much, and, you know.
Well, they don't dive straight in, do they? I mean, something that I thought was interesting, actually, that I'd never really thought about in the first series, but I suppose it's obviously the case, but which is what Brent says, is it's a mockumentary, but if it was a documentary, if this had been a real thing about a real office, he basically says, look, they took 8 hours of footage a day and condensed that down to loads of short clips of me doing stupid stuff, which,
yeah,
I mean, that obviously that is what they do, isn't it? That's good TV. We don't want to see him doing a good meeting. We want to see him trying to
why
be funny.
Why did they want the cameras to come back then, if that's how he felt? But I think by this point, I know why.
Yeah, we'll get to
his
character.
He's into the fame game. Yeah, the entirety of this. It's easy to get through because there's only two real stories running through it. One is Brent trying to get a girlfriend and trying to become as famous as possible. And the other one is Dawn, we'll get to, coming back from America to visit people.
Exactly, yeah, and that's a really good summary. And
that's it.
With these Christmas ones, yeah, we'll finish there. No, there's more to it. But what with these Christmas ones, because we're going to release hopefully one every couple of days, every 2 to 3 days. I don't want to go into massive detail. I've got a lot of notes, but if I'm going into too much of the detail, kind of just skip me on a little bit. But I'll take you through some of the storylines. So first of all, there's a new sort of power dynamic in the office. Gareth is the boss. He's replaced David Brent.
Now respect for Gareth, which I found good. Because obviously Gareth is now Tim's boss, whereas before he wasn't, was it? Because they had that argument in the series about who were, you know, more in charge of the other. But Tim still treats Gareth exactly. So locks him in his office, doesn't he, in the first scene?
Exactly, yeah. So he goes, lock me in again. Brilliant line. And then Gareth has to phone the new secretary, so Dawn's replacement. Actually written down her name, I don't think.
Mel,
yeah. So, and she's not up for the joke. She's not in for any banter. She just kind of says, oh, I've got to go and let him out because he's asked. And you see Tim's just look of sort of sadness, really. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I've seen actually on the Ricky Gervais show that they asked Carl Pilton what he thinks. And he says, yeah, I preferred second one to the first one. And Gervais says, yeah, probably would expect that. The first one is a setup. And that's exactly what it is. We're setting the scene. So we've not seen him for 3 years. We've got to establish where these characters are and what they're up to. Get ready for the second half. So,
and nothing's changed. Tim still hates his job. Obviously, Gareth's the manager now. He out of all the characters, Gareth's the one that's changed the most, I think.
He has, but as we'll see, it's all a bit of a pretense, isn't it? He's the same character, essentially. He's not. He acts like he has more power, but nobody seems to give him any more respect. We see, Brent goes to a fruit shop. I love how he calls it fruit and veg emporium. He's really good at delivering sort of words and overemphasizing them. They meet a character, and it's this kind of thing of Brent's in this space where he kind of made it. He was on TV, but he's not really famous, and people don't really know who he is, but he sort of thinks he's bigger than he is. There's a really funny scene. I'm not going to play a clip, but the guy in the shop who clearly has no idea who he is, but Brent's desperate to try and sort of get it accepted that I'm famous and you know who I am. Come on, you know. And the next clip I'm going to play, because when we went away on our roadshow, we kept saying this all the time out of context, but I love the when he says he's been recognized but he gets called different names. I love the last one, so I'll play the clip.
Does that sort of thing happen a lot,
getting recognized? I mean, usually they know specifically who I am. He recognized me, he'd kick himself later.
Is it having a problem?
I mean, you always get the odd person who doesn't appreciate what you're doing, shout silly things, but...
What sort of things?
You beardy twat, pug-nosed gimp, lard boy. And I go, yeah, what have you ever done on telly? Nothing, so don't... Absolutely flabulous.
Yeah. Absolutely amazing.
Brilliant. Yeah, we kept all time saying to each other, didn't we? Absolutely flabulous.
Absolutely flabulous. Yeah. So yeah, so Brent, the whole thing with Brent, as I said, is just about him trying to be famous. He's sort of walking into like rooms and looking around, the TV notices him and stuff. And he's even though he's come across, he admits he's come across as a complete dick on this documentary. He's sort of not bothered because he's a bit famous now. And that's all he ever wanted from this documentary, really, isn't it? When they first came,
kind of created a monster, haven't they? So they gave him some airtime. And this sort of sleeping part of him that probably always dreamed of being this sort of entertainment star, it's just unlocked the door now and he's out.
It's interesting that on the actual office where, not, it's not in this, but when he calls himself a comedian, it's not. He doesn't say, like, I want to be a comedian. He says, I am a comedian, yeah. So now, in his head, he is famous.
Yeah, like well, he says he's a chilled out entertainer, doesn't he?
Yeah, chilled out entertainer, and that I think that's brilliant about him. That it's almost like finally someone's recognised that I am a comedian, but he's not a comedian.
No, he's not, and he's barely famous. And I think this is kind of something that we see throughout is it's such a low level of fame. I mean, it's not even like there's a Big Brother celebrity in it later, actually, but it's not even like a Big Brother celebrity who gets a moment of fame. He's just had a glimpse of it. He's so far away from it, really. But yeah, it's an ongoing theme throughout that he's kind of made it, but actually he's not.
The other thing going throughout is he absolutely misses his job, doesn't he, as the manager in the office?
Yeah, he can't keep away. There's loads and loads of it where he's basically just any excuse to go back in and see.
And I want to play a clip here if that's possible. This is when he first goes back into the office. And Gareth's now the manager. Gareth used to absolutely... This is where the dynamics change. Gareth used to adore Brent, like absolutely adore him and stick up for him and sort of cry him when he lost his job and all this sort of stuff. And this is now the change in dynamic. This is when Brent goes into the office to meet Gareth.
Well, I bought that from Halfords.
Oh,
here he is.
The fella who nicked my job.
Didn't want anymore.
He begged for it.
That didn't. How are you talking about?
He's here more often now that he doesn't work here than he was when he did work here.
Exaggerating.
Always nice to see you.
Well, it's nice for them to see me. That's why I pop in. So.
A bit disruptive.
Not disruptive. It's good for them, so it's good for the company, so it should be good for you.
Always nice to see you.
It's always nice for them to see me.
He's here an awful lot now, though.
I am here an awful lot, but I never outstay my welcome.
Perhaps so, you should call ahead.
Not on a call ahead. You're not a doctor. When you're a doctor, I'll make an appointment.
I hardly like you to be a doctor, but I am.
I don't think you are, no. 6 years medical training. He's got 1-0 level.
Always welcome. Maybe you should call ahead.
I'm not going to call ahead. No point.
Well, then I'll lock the door.
Yeah, I'll still get in. Let's see.
should phone ahead.
I'm not going to call ahead.
This clip is... If someone said sum up the office, I think I'd play this clip because it's horrible to watch. It's so cringy. You're like, oh no. But it's unbelievably funny as well. You're like, when people say it's cringe comedy, this is what I know Brent does more embarrassing things, but this awkwardness between them, like, I'm not going to call ahead. Do you know what I mean?
The fake laugh, the sort of constant grinning to camera. Yeah, it's brilliant. It's really well done. And it only becomes cringy if it's believable, and it is. I get why some people it's a bit too much. It's like, oh God, you're kind of crawling in your skin for both of them, basically. There's no winner in that scenario.
And I really like that they've made Gareth. He's totally lost respect for him. And I don't know whether that's because he's now the manager, so he sees himself on a par, or he realises how bad of a job Brent were doing because he's now the manager, or what. I don't know what it is, but the shift dynamic is brilliant, I think.
There's some stuff I've got to kind of come to on Brent a bit later on. But, yeah, possibly that's signs of something I'm going to bring up later on. But, yeah, Gareth has... He's kind of decided that he's no longer the, what would you say? He's
second
no longer the
second in command.
Yeah, or the kind of the one to be trodden on, and you know,
Or even he's better because he's got the job that Brent wants, and he knows that.
And something I want to mention now, when we come into the office space, so there's a character in there, and she's called Anne, and she's part of the finance team who sits near Tim. Now, I actually looked up her name. It's Elizabeth Berrington. I think she's so well written and so well acted because she's so unpleasant. You find she's awful. Yeah. Like, and, yeah. and it, you'll see later on, there's a reason for that. There's a payoff that comes off that. But she's so irritating in every scene.
I've seen her in a couple of things. She's funny. You know, she plays. She's the horriblest character, I think, in the entire thing.
Little noises and little, like, just everything about us. There's a really smug scene where she asks Tim, if he wants to send a letter out. Mm. And he says, yeah, please, yeah. And she's like, oh, right, you want to send it out like that, do you? And he says, yep. Oh, because it is 2002. It's just so smug and horrible. Yeah, it's really well written, that character.
Yeah, and there's another bit, like, where she's talking about how she pushes in, is it Alton Towers?
We've got a note.
She
of
pushes
that, yeah,
in front of the actual sick kids and says that her kid's sick and stuff. It's just, she's just a horrible, horrible person. Well, as you said, we'll get to the end and
even the bit where she's just kind of slurping yogurt off the yogurt top. It's disgusting.
Yeah,
it's horrible.
And he's just looking at her, Tim, doing his famous or infamous maybe now wide eye expressions.
I love that bit, by the way, from the clip you play where he comes back in the office, Tim Moore. I don't think we played that bit. We played Gareth, didn't we? But
yeah,
when he comes back in, I love that. It's a sign of somebody returning to an office who did the work where he says, Cromwell's still on your case.
Yeah.
Love that. It's like, pick a name. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's still dealing with Fradbury. It's like, just pick a name everyone knows and throw it in there, and that proves that you were
Brilliant. Absolutely amazing, that. Is this the scene on the deleted scenes where he comes in and he says, Tim Canterbury? Archbishop of Canterbury, Bishop Nazarazu.
That didn't make the final cut.
I'm not sure, yeah, because that's the bit where, obviously it's Martin Freeman says, that what are you doing? That will never not be funny. I can't not laugh at that. Yeah,
yes, they had to leave it out because he was just laughing that much. Bishop Nazarazu.
We go across to America and we're in Florida. It's Tampa, actually, the area of Florida. And we see Dawn and Lee. So these are the characters. Dawn was the secretary previously. Sorry, is it secretary?
Receptionist.
Receptionist, sorry. And she's the one that Tim's asked out a couple of times. Kind of, it backfired both times, really.
And I like how they do this, because she comes on and she's holding a baby and it looks like she's had a kid, doesn't it?
Yeah, so you think, all right, they've kind of settled down, found their own place. It turns out they're living with Lee's sister. They've kind of outstayed their visa. They're not really working. And Lee's sort of just sunbathing, quite smug that, you only need to earn a pittance here. We're not paying rent. And Dawn's kind of making light of the situation, but clearly isn't happy.
She's not happy, no.
By the way,
sorry, go on.
I don't know if you noticed this. I've never noticed this until we came to review it for this episode. But what they do very well throughout, every time we see Tim or Dawn, it cuts to the other one, and you can see they're both not happy in their current situation. So,
right. I didn't know that. I mean, the thing is with Tim, I wrote that down, actually. He still hates his job. He keeps saying he's going to become a psychologist, doesn't he? Like in the old series, like, I'm going to go back to uni, and I'm going to go back to college. And you know, because I'm like this, and I suppose you are to a degree, we all do things like this, don't we, where you say, I'll do that soon, and then you never do it, and life just carries on. Do you know what I mean?
He's
just comfortable, but not happy.
But I think there's some people who do believe, I will do that one day. We know a couple of people who kind of, I'll probably do that one day. I think the sadness in Tim and Dawn is that they kind of accepted the situation that, saying, I'm still going to try and do this, but they kind of know they're not. And that's what's sad is they're not happy. Like I say, I'm pretty sure I might be wrong. There might be a couple of examples, but it seems to me like every time we see one or the other, we're followed by the other one, and they're both not happy.
About that dreams and stuff not coming true, we should probably mention, because it comes back later, that Dawn has dreams of being an illustrator, an artist, don't you? So
yeah, and that was one of the things when she went over there, was going to give her time to focus on being an illustrator. We cut to
What do you think of Lee as a character? Like, because he gets a lot of stick. I think, he's got this guy who's basically been after his girlfriend for like two series running. Is he doing that much wrong?
No, I think the difference in this, and this is obviously they have to kind of put these plot devices in. I think we see a not darker side to him, but I think in the two series, he's just a guy who goes out with a and he's just getting about his business while this other guy's trying it on with her. And you kind of feel like, well, Tim is a bit out of order, really. Even if they're not a perfect fit, they are together. But in this, they kind of start showing much more of Lee's, you know, I don't know, he's got nothing really to offer, has he? He seems to just want to sit sunbathing all day. He doesn't really engage with her. He doesn't really listen to her very much. I think they need to set that up, that there's more than just a perfect fit, that actually maybe it's not working at all.
We
get a Tim chat here where he's very kind of honest and awkward, and he's talking about how kind of things didn't end how he wanted them to, and things could have been different. And I actually think Martin Freeman's acting, I know he kind of got stick for just doing his, like you said, turn to camera with big eyes.
Yeah.
I think there's some really good acting in this. I think Tim's kind of, some of it really steals the show. There's a bit particularly later on that we'll mention. We go back to Gareth and David in this sort of power struggle again. And there's a brilliant bit here. I'll play a clip from it when they're talking about basically David, when they got rid of him, they tried to offer Gareth his new job, and you can't make someone redundant if that role still exists, or something like that. So he sued them. This is him talking about what he did with the money.
That was just because of your redundancy thing. They couldn't call the job the same thing, and he sued them. So.
Did you win?
Oh, yes.
They had to pay you off, didn't they?
Yeah, out-of-court settlement, so quite a lot of money. Ka-ching.
Wasted most of it, though.
I didn't waste it.
Tell her what you spent it on.
I released my own single. So if that's a waste of money.
Well, it is a waste of money, because you didn't even get in the top 100.
Good, didn't want it to. Next.
How much did that cost to put out a single?
Costs is a bit misleading, because I was paying for everything. I paid for the studio time, PR costs, all myself.
Roughly, how much do you think you spent?
Roughly, £42,000.
Horrible. And it makes him more of a loser. I think it's hard to have sympathy for Brent anyway. In the first two series, it were really hard to have sympathy for him. And you sort of wanted him to fail because he was such a buffoon and he needed a wake-up call. But I think they set this up quite well, that you do start having a bit more, you know, you start feeling a bit sorry for him. He's an idiot, but everything, his life's just falling apart, really, hasn't it?
Yeah, and even Gareth, that he spent two series kind of looking down on, it is where he wants to be. That's still the job that Brent wants. Yeah, he kind of wants both worlds. He wants all this fame stuff going on, but he wants to be the office manager again, and that's Gareth, and he's very, very jealous. Neil comes in.
Neil, to mention, if you've not seen it before, Neil is the manager of David Brent. They were equals, but then the Slough branch got moved into the Swindon branch, and David Brent were going to be the manager, but failed high blood pressure. Failed, you know, the medical, because he had high blood pressure. And he absolutely fucking hates Neil for being his boss, don't he, basically?
Yeah, until this, and by the way, for explaining anything to you in the first series, because you haven't seen them, rather than just a refresher, forget this. Turn this off now and just go and start watching The Office, because you're missing out. So hopefully we're just giving you a couple of little refreshers here. But the difference in this, and again, this is where you start seeing slight differences in character, because it's almost more of a film, this, and they've got to get the story across quite quickly. So I think quite well written, because it's not unfounded. But previously, Neil's always just been a bit uncomfortable around David, whereas in this, he does actually seem quite irritated with him and starting to actually kind of resent David, actually, I think.
I think he's a lot more, cocky is the wrong word, but he's a lot more, he's less pussyfooting around him. Like, Neil comes across as a really good guy in the series, because Brent's been a complete dick to him, and he never really rises to it, and he's trying to be professional. But in this, I think he's had enough. But Brent keeps coming into the office, doesn't he? Like, you know, he don't work there.
Yeah, it was a bit later on where he becomes sort of more forceful with him. But yeah, it's done quite well, because you're sort of watching it and you're enjoying Dave being in there, but he doesn't work there. He's got no place being in this office, has he? It's just the guy who's wandered in who used to work there.
Yeah, just keeps coming back in and back in. Is this the bit as well where Neil says he's getting married?
No, that's a tiny bit further on that.
Carry on.
So this is a little bit where he asks him how it's going. He says, oh dear, he knows how full well it's going. He's desperate to present this image of success, Brent. And then after he just told us how well it's going, it cuts to the scene of him eating his sandwiches on the roadside, like Hald of Sheffield United Way. Brilliant. I love that scene. I think it's so well shot from the BBC and from Hal.
Yeah, just, if you aren't seeing Al, if you don't know who Al is, well, give him a follow on Twitter, because you're in for all sorts of treats.
Yeah, I mean, he's not really relevant to this, is he? But this particular scene is, so he's worth a mention. So yeah, cheers, yeah. Al. But yeah, just really well done, and it sort of shows this. I don't know. This, he's telling everyone how great he's doing, and then he's eating sandwiches on the side of the road. This is Brent, not Hal. I'm sure Hal is doing very well. But there's a bit there as well where he tells. I love that bit where he's so good at this, Gervais as Brent, where he's talking and then remembers there's a camera. It's such good where he says, "Yeah, you know, you can be speeding along the road, 70 miles an hour or over," and then glances at the camera. Yeah, it's like a scissor sign at 70 miles an hour tops.
Absolutely amazing, absolutely fantastic. Yeah, but he's so he's got his life on the road as a shit filmer called after this. But
we don't acknowledge that, do we?
No, we don't acknowledge that as part of the canon, because it's shit and it ruins it.
We're now going back into the office space. It's jumping around a little bit. We're all setting the scene. I mean, the summary is Brent's out and about, part trying to do this traveling salesman role, part trying to be an entertainer. And office life is just carrying on as it always does. And there's a bit here where I find Tim really, really irritating. I'm going to play a clip.
So come in, 3 o'clock on the 14th, fortnightly management meeting, chaired by myself, GT. We'll head to division present. You got your agendas.
Gareth, can I just add something to the agenda, please?
No, you know full well you cannot submit something to be discussed during the meeting. It has to be submitted before 2 o'clock to be typed up onto the agenda. This is the agenda, has been typed up.
Right, so I got this information after 2 o'clock. There's no way I could possibly have got it in before.
I'll wait till next time.
How about I just tell you the information now?
It won't get on the agenda.
I just start telling you that Mike thinks that the quotes he's given us don't include VAT.
I did not officially hear that, all right? You know the rule.
Right, fine. Okay, so I cannot possibly get this on the agenda.
No.
There's no way I can get this on the agenda.
No.
So what's point number 7 on the agenda?
Any other business.
Can I bring it up then?
Yes.
I'll wait till then.
Right.
It really irritates me this, because if Tim's doing this to wind him up and smirky to camera, like, look how I can get to Gareth, then fine, waste his time, mess about. But he's really angry in this scene, Tim.
Yeah.
And he knows he can get it in any other business. So why is he dicking about trying to get it?
Do you know what I think about Tim? He's the every man of the series. Out of everyone in this show, I'd probably want to be mates with him. I would have thought, I can't think of anyone. Certainly not. Maybe Neil. I don't know. Maybe I'm a bit. Maybe Fly. Tim's the every man anyway. He's supposed to be in the office, isn't he? But he's a bit of a prick. He's like, he's going after someone else's girlfriend. In fact, they're engaged. And he's so smug, and he's got nothing to be smug about. And he's so, like, criticising other people. It's like when in the series where he's going on about, oh, I don't know if it'll be theatre or... Do you know what I'm on that night
out?
Yeah. And he's like, taking the piss about how uncultured they are. It's like, yeah, but you're going on it. Do you know what I mean? You're going on this night out. So, yeah, he sneers. He's a very sneering character, I think.
Yeah, and that bit just particularly annoys me, because he's... I find it funny, actually, Gareth, though, as office manager, when he don't want to hear something going, la, 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 that might be...
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, fantastic, and that.
So the bit coming up now, this is bit you were talking about, brilliant. Brent, again, is in the office for some reason. He sort of strolls into the Gareth's office, and you've got Finchie, who's the kind of brash, loud, travelling salesman who seemingly is everything kind of Brent is pretending to be. He's another well-written character, because he's a bit of a knob, but he's funny at times, and you kind of get why Brent Hero worships him.
Brent wants to be, I think.
Well, I don't know. I think he's what he wants to be perceived as. I don't actually know if he wants to be a knobhead, but yeah. I love how he walks in, he shakes everyone's hand except Neil's. Neil off his hand. So sort of petty.
Yeah.
I love the bit where... I think Neil says to him, are you dating? And he says, you know what it's like. He says, well, you don't. He does. Points to Finchie, and he goes, young, free and single. Wah! Motels. Yeah. Love that noise,
so
mate.
Good. And then, like, he goes, then Gareth, like, obviously can't get it, can he? He's going in the background of him. So you do have sex. Well, I don't kiss and tell. He's the, I don't kiss and tell. Like, so again, cringe.
And then, obviously, this is where the bit you mentioned previously. So Neil says he's getting married. Again, good acting from Gervais. I know some people say he's not a good actor. I think he is.
I like this accent. He's gutted.
He looks genuinely pissed off. they've shown a picture of her, and I think it shows that Finchie respects Neil, because you kind of expect him to make one of his sort of sexist jokes, but he just sort of nods and says, oh yeah.
Brilliant is that Brent has never met this woman, because he's never seen, he's looking at a picture of her, he's never met her, and he goes, I prefer someone more intellectual.
Yeah, and then he says, well, she's a doctor actually. And yeah, Finchie makes one of his sexist jokes, something about the only time you've seen a woman like that is with a staple through her, as in like kind of in a
yeah.
bone, like. And then a lot of our Brent says, degrade into a GP.
Yeah, degrade into a GP.
That's one of my favourite lines in the whole thing, that, degrade into a GP.
So good. This scene is brilliant because, again, he's gutted. And he says, and then he goes, when's the wedding? And he goes, like, next year, innit, whatever. And he goes, well, I'll be married by then. And Gareth, again, like he goes, who, two?
Yeah.
Who, two? Because, well, I'm just saying, it's a long way away.
And, yeah, so he's, obviously we're establishing that scene. He's very jealous. He's got no date. He's got no love life. And
he's lost his job.
Again, quite smugly, I think, Neil, sort of as he leaves.
He is bad on this, yeah.
Oh, you're bringing a date to the party then? Kind of knowing that he's not. But Brent's kind of cornered it, saying, yeah, bring the lady there.
But in fairness to Neil, Brent has been an absolute bell end to him for like 5 years.
Yeah. It's not unjustified. It's just.
Yeah.
We've not really seen this side to Neil until now. We've sort of he's just been the almost just let Brent hang himself, hasn't he? Like he's kind of just allowed him space to mess it up for himself. He's never done anything. Whereas you get the feeling this Neil started to like, I don't know, almost want to put the boot in on him a little bit.
Yeah.
Agree. So I love that bit as well. He cuts to Brent and he's talking about his girlfriend, and obviously, you know, clearly he's got no love life. But the interviewer says to him, when was the last time you had a girlfriend? He says, well, I prefer not to think about it as when, but who and why.
Yeah, brilliant, isn't it? It's absolutely amazing. Do you think he's ever been in a long-term relationship? I don't get the feeling he has.
No, and it's not something we've ever sort of, as far as I'm aware, throughout the office, we've never heard of his backstory, whether there is anything in there. No, I think they've kept that away. And it's strange in this one as well, because it's almost like he feels he needs to get a date to compete with Neil, not because...
Yeah, because he wants
for a date as such. Yeah. So that's the setup. We know he needs a date. And actually, then what we do, we cut to see. It's the first time we see him in this entertainer in inverted commas role, and he's there with his agent Peter, who is the guy out of Life's Too Short, who's his accountant, isn't he?
And Alan Partridge when he goes, Alan, you can't.
Yeah, the South African guy.
He said it again. Yeah, he's an unbelievably funny actor.
He's so good at playing that sort of deadpan.
He's brilliant in this.
Yeah, he's brilliant. I mean, basically, he's running an agency. He's sort of forgotten everything about it. Brent has to prompt him on all of it. And then, yeah, he finishes on a fantastic line about lookalikes. Have you got a lookalike for me? No, you're nowhere near famous enough.
There's a brilliant bit where he's on about lookalikes. Tell him what lookalikes you've got. Michael Douglas. He goes, what does he do? He goes, just walks around looking like Michael Douglas. Because I'm thinking of getting a Captain Zeta Jones, actually, because people don't recognise him.
And then just Brent's an old man walking around.
Yeah, people just think he's an old man walking around. Brent's like, smart, very great idea.
And then he goes out on stage at Mumbo Jumbo's. And again, it's a weird mixed bag with Brent. And possibly this is exactly how you're supposed to feel about him. In part, you feel very sorry for him. In part, you find him ridiculous. He's gone on stage at Mumbo Jumbo's, the club. They've mocked him before he's even gone on. They've said, you might recognise him from The Office or from his chart, but probably not, because it got to about 450 in the chart. He's got nothing to say. There's no reason for him to be there. They sort of say, what are you doing right now? And
they're just doing this,
more of these. Right, and what have you got coming up? Well, more of these. And then they say, right, what are you going to do for us? And he says, well, no, he just said, come out and say hello. And that's it. And he says, all right, okay. Feeling hot, hot, hot. And he walks off stage. And then there's a brilliant bit there. And it's not a shock to us, this, but he sort of glances over his shoulder and the camera catches him. And it's just a distant look of, what is this? Is this supposed to be sort of the famous life? It's really, really well done.
Yeah, it is. Because as much as he's like bragging about fame, no one knows who he is. He's just there, he's doing nothing, he's like just waving constantly, like just doing nothing. It's just horrible, like spending his evenings doing that, getting paid for it, but is it worth it?
Yeah, and seemingly for now it is, at least. But some brilliant moments here. I think we probably need to pick up the pace because we're still in episode one. some really, really good moments where he's doing his dating profile with Gareth. And there's a fantastic line actually about Neil's wedding. Should I play the clip?
Yeah, get the clip.
Has Neil got a date for the wedding, or is he just...
Yes, September.
September. Could be good. Could... Might rain. Could be a washout. Hope not.
How would you describe your looks? Very attractive, attractive, average.
You can't put very attractive. It looks like arrogance. So, but attractive. Just see me.
Absolutely brilliant.
There's a brilliant bit here where he's taking, because Gareth thinks Brent's 50, don't he?
45, he thinks he is.
45, because I'm not 45. He looks 40. I bet he is 45 at this point. Probably is. Anyway. Yeah, and he goes, I'm not 40, because I just thought because of the, like, and he starts like making that, like, basically saying he's got a fat chin. And he's look at you, Pinocchio man. I love that insult, Pinocchio man. Yeah, Pinocchio boy. He's fucking brilliant, Pinocchio man.
there's some great lines in there. There's a bit where he says sports, do you play sports? And he goes, yeah. Because what sports do you play? Squash. Squash. I love
you
how
travel,
he says it.
I travel, boy. Yeah, I travel.
Travel, boy. Yeah. And he's standing up to him again, Gareth. The dynamic is broken. It doesn't work anymore because Gareth doesn't respect him. Brent's never respected Gareth. They're just two awkward people sort of arguing and then smiling to camera every now and again.
As if the mates, yeah.
And... next, again, we've got the horrible secretary, Anne, and she, financial, I don't know what she is, finance team. She is talking about how mother-in-law got a Kama Sutra to try out different sex positions. She's demonstrating one of them, like squatting down. Tim looks so depressed. He's staring into the distance. Imagine if I picked up that he was looking at the future.
It's going around the right. Imagine if you went mad. Right, psychedelic off it. Feel like Mike.
But this is another clever sort of cut now. So we cut from Tim, very depressed, sort of questioning his place in life, I would say. Cuts to a baby crying and Dawn trying to calm him down. She clearly looks depressed. Lee walks past and says, do me a favour, shut him up, will you? And that's his input. He's gone again. He's off. So we can see they're both not happy. And this is where the BBC asked Dawn and Lee if they're interested about coming back to Slough for the Christmas special. Dawn thinks they need to think about it. Lee agrees on the spot, which again shows that he doesn't really care what she thinks. He just wants to do what he thinks.
He just wants to go home, doesn't he? Like, just for, like, basically a holiday, I suppose. Like, to go and see everyone again. He's not... If you're paying for it, I'll do it, yeah.
We go to... So they agree, they're coming. We go to Christmas planning for the party in the office. Gareth's chair.
Again, great acting from Tim, this. Absolutely.
Some brilliant acting. I mean, actually, the first...
I think Martin Freeman, by the way. He's not Tim, is he? But yeah, go on.
Yeah, for the purpose of this. But
yeah,
the bit I've never noticed before is at the start, Gareth says, let's blue sky it, which is obviously one of these horrible management phrases. And Tim sort of rolls his eyes and goes, yeah, let's blue sky it. Tell you what, Gareth, let's fly up the flagpole and see if the cat sucks you off. I've never noticed that before.
No, I don't think I have, actually.
So, there's a couple of good bits in there. Keith suggests a wet T-shirt. Gareth writes it down.
Absolutely just, love that.
You can't do that.
Best bit before, and he goes, what are we in for this party? And Keith goes, girls. He goes, I think girls will be coming, actually. And he goes, no, not girls at the office. Pretty girls.
And then Tim sort of says, what? You say prostitutes? No, we shouldn't have to pay for it. So,
he just like shakes his head, Keith. Like,
another good line in there where somebody says, oh, we need something for the old people. Gareth writes down something for the old people.
Yeah.
Tim says, oh, you can't write that down. What? He says, no, it's down there. No. Yeah, but what, Gareth? What for the old people? And then the brilliant acting from Tim is where Gareth says, and a couple of announcements, somebody's coming back, can't remember the first name, and also Dawn Tinsley's coming back from America. And it catches Tim kind of off guard. And he looks stunned. He does like a kind of really exaggerated nod. Really good acting, I think.
It's brilliant. He's like, oh, cool. But you can see like his whole body's got into shock, hasn't he? Fantastic acting from Freeman.
Yeah, and then we go back to Tim on his own in one of these talking head moments. And he's basically saying it was awkward. First, he thought it was just the embarrassment of coming back. But then it's not. It's the thought of seeing her. And he says there is obviously something still there. So, it's kind of maybe not acknowledged that feeling for the last 3 years.
And it's just a bit where he says as well, where he says, I'm not going to ask her out again. Then he goes, I might ask her out. In fact, she has to do the asking. It's like in this bizarre, his thoughts are spinning, aren't they?
Yeah, and he kind of knows it'd be ridiculous again, but he's not completely given up on it. But yeah, a couple of times in it, he says she'd have to do the asking. And he kind of knows she's not going to do the asking. So yeah, it's kind of done. We're getting right to the end of the first part now, and really good scene this. We go to Bren, and he's dressed up as Austin Powers, and he's doing a blind date on stage.
So bad.
It's awful, isn't it? I mean...
So it's blind date. It's a celebrity blind date at a nightclub. There's this young girl about, I don't know, 19 or something, and she has to pick between Bubble from Big Brother, one, two, three. Well, fucking hell, all of them. Which one are we on?
Three.
One. I said three.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bubble, there's Bren and Howard from the Halifax adverts.
Yeah, they're the three celebs. We've got Kim. I've seen her in other stuff, but I can't think what when she was on.
I recognised her, and I can't think where she'd been in. But anyway.
Yeah, she comes on, plays really well, this kind of youngish girl who's like, way, hey, I'm here for a blind date, hey. Everything's like a sort of cheer. Asks Bubble a question. I'm trying to think which clip to play from this bit, because
there's a brilliant bit where you can't see where he says, she goes, what's your passion in life? And Bubble goes, my passion's football. And Brent's nodding. He's got no idea of football. Like, yeah.
Well, and he makes a joke there. He says, but hopefully you're a West Ham fan, because by the end of the night, you'll be forever blowing bubbles. And
yeah,
I'll play Brent's response to that.
Well, I hope you're a West Ham fan, love, because after tonight, you will be forever blowing bubble.
There's a word, because the song's blowing bubbles. I know you're doing blowjobs, but... Sexist.
I love how he says at the end, I know you're doing blowjobs.
I know you're doing blowjobs. It's just like, again, he thinks he's intellectually smarter than all these people as well, don't he? Which is a bad thing.
Yeah, and he's really awkward, so he gets his bit all wrong, but he's fuming with her. So he jumps in before she's even asked a question. Because Shagadelic, baby, yeah.
Yeah, it's so horrible.
Basically, again, it's another film character, are you? Because Austin Powers, that's what I was doing. He's annoyed with her because he's got it all wrong.
He fucks it up. And again, this is another thing where someone says, what do you mean it's a cringy show, like it's cringy comedy? Again, show him that scene where he's dressed in the full Austin Powers suit. We're going, Shagadelic, baby, so bad.
She chooses Howard. Bubble comes off, she kind of gives him a kiss, and the guy says, are you upset? She says, I like him. Brent walks past, hugs her. I mean, it's this thing that they write in where I don't know if she'd be so repulsed by him. She's like pulling away from him. And then as he walks off, she says, who the fuck's that? And he's really pissed off about that. So when she comes in behind this sort of set,
hang on, can I play a clip here? I love this. Another little sort of thing which off is brilliant.
Okay, yeah.
As he's walking off stage, this happens.
Who the fuck's that?
Who are you? What have you been on before? Nothing. So then,
wanker.
You're the wanker, mate. If anyone is.
Yeah, I forgot that. I've not made a note of that. Brilliant. Yeah, you're the wanker, mate. If anyone is. If anyone is, it's such a good line.
It's such a good. You're the wanker, mate. If anyone is.
I love. Oh, if anyone is.
You reckon I keep walking off as a wanker like that? No, he's like wanker.
There's a bit there as well that I love where she throws a drink in his face. He says, what the fuck was that shit to her? Or, you know, what was your shit? Or something like that. She throws a drink in his face. He grabs a drink to throw in her face. She throws that in his face. So he stood there soaking wet.
He goes, but I'm already wet. It's a joke's on you.
Yeah. But the agent says something like, you better get that dry clean. You won't get your deposit back. I love how Brent goes, won't I? What about if it's fucking ripped? And he does the most feeble attempt to, like, rip his shirt.
Yeah, he can't rip it. Yeah.
It's pathetic. Just pushes it side to side. Turns out
this is like his lowest moment. This is where the first part ends, isn't it? And it's like a long distance shot of him dressed as Austin Powers, like just looking so depressed. Yeah.
And that's it. So that's the setup. We've got Brent, not really an entertainer, quite depressed about what he's doing. Tim, just being thrown back in. That Dawn's coming back. Dawn not happy in America. That's all the setup. So, part two. It's Brent and he's with Gareth. He's reviewing his free. So it turns out he gets three free introductions. I'd never noticed that bit before. So he's only got three attempts at free, and then he's got to start paying for it. So Neil's comes in, says, still need two tickets, and a glance to camera again. So still kind of quite mocking him for the fact he probably doesn't think he's going to date. And then we go on Brent's first date. It's awful, this. It's, again, it's that cringe. It has to be done well to be cringe, otherwise it wouldn't. But he meets this girl. He talks about a necklace and says, yeah, well, you know why women wear necklaces? To draw men's attention to the breasts. And she says, well, I don't. This was my dead mother's necklace. And he says, yeah, well, she probably did it to draw attention to hers. What a sign of a date that's gone wrong. Can we stop talking about my dead mother's breast? I love that as a
line. They've already just met. And he goes, whoever started, he's now let's go to the main course. So he's already ruined that first date. That's it. He's gone because he starts talking about breasts.
He's completely blown it. It can't be awkward. I think he does like this one as well. So he's just completely messed it up by being... He kind of thinks he knows everything about everything and he can't leave it. He's talked to her about cavemen having sex and... It's just a complete... And I actually think when you watch it, there's a couple of moments early on where there's a chance for him to turn it into something better, but he can't just not be this oddball, can he? Like,
yeah.
So he says something like, well, no, sorry, I wasn't being lewd. I'm just interested in... And she sort of smiles and says, breast. And I thought there's a chance for him to sort of laugh at himself and say,
sorry,
that didn't sound good, that, did it? But he goes, no, anthropology, the study of... He's just such an odd character.
Yeah.
Really awkward date. We don't see much of it, but it's quite clear that's going nowhere. So, Dawn is now coming back into the office. So we're seeing her in a taxi on her way in. I kind of really like this bit. I think Dawn's a fantastic character in the whole thing. I think you need that sane person in it all.
I think she is the most sane person and she's the nicest one, even though she ends up... Well, she never actually cheats on her other half, actually, so that's wrong. Yeah, she's, I think, brilliant acting as well. What's her name? Lucy Davis, Jasper Carrot's daughter, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Someone once asked her, she, why did you drop Carrot when you become an actor, an actress? Like, and she went, what makes you think Carrot's his real name? Because obviously his name's not Jasper Carrot.
Jasper Carrot, yeah.
Yeah.
But she's basically saying, and I completely am on board with this sentiment that she says here. She says, oh, I'm the one who's gone and I'm coming back. I'm going to have to answer the same question 30 times. She says, yeah, the weather's nice. Yeah, I've done some sunbathing. No, I'm not going to be an illustrator.
Yeah.
And you can kind of see what's coming. So, and it does exactly that. She comes in. She gets mobbed by loads of small talk. Oh, where have you been?
Yeah.
You've got a plan, all this sort of stuff. Tim jumps in, steps up, says, oh, Dawn, I think Gareth probably wants to see you. Takes her away. I've got to play this clip. This is when she walks into the garage.
There's a brilliant look from Dawn where she looks at Tim and they sort of like both look away. You know what I mean? And then,
yeah, because there's an awkwardness. There's also the fact that they probably want to speak to each other and not all the other people, but it is still awkward the way she... Yeah, again, good acting. There is a glance and then a turn away. But Gareth, who he's someone who they've kind of always just mocked, but maybe he doesn't know that, but he's playing the... top dog role now. When she walks in, I love how he does this.
Dawn Tinsley, as I live and breathe. Don't bloody believe this.
Oh, hi.
Come here. How are you, babes?
I'm fine, darling.
I love it. How are you, babes? I like it when he goes, look, if you want to come back, I always thought... Because he says something like, I always thought you were much better than just be a receptionist, even though if you were a bit...
You don't necessarily have to go behind reception. I always thought you were a good worker. They have a bit of banter. I think it ends up with gay jokes again. So it's an ongoing theme throughout the whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah, Tim and Dawn.
Yeah, sorry. Share a sense of humour and really enjoy winding Gareth up with gay jokes. And it's a theme throughout the whole two series and the two specials. In there as well, we've got Brent arranging his second date. Somebody found... I love this. So this is the irony at work. So this is the first time somebody recognises him. And they say... Because he says, you might recognise me. Was on telly in a show called The Office. And she goes, oh, God, you're not that horrible boss, are you?
And then, what? What's my name?
What's his name? I've got to go. And I guess, Oh my God, too many questions. Chill out.
He goes, what's your name? What are you doing? Too many questions. Chill out. Yeah, so the first time someone's recognised him and they think he's a prick, basically.
Yeah, horrible boss. Dawn comes in and sits with Tim for a bit. They're kind of having some banter and just to chat, those two. And then she steps in again, Anne, who says, are you going to have kids? Should do it soon. Well, Dawn actually responds, not that I'm aware of, which kind of implies maybe she wants to, maybe she doesn't, but it's, you know, Lee's not decided to do that, so it's not happening.
Yeah.
She says, not that I'm aware of. And then Anne says to her, if you're going to do it, take my advice, do it soon. There's nothing worse than an old mum. And that upsets Dawn a little bit. And she says, right, it's time for me to go.
Yeah.
So, and on her way out, she tells us that she is coming back, though, for the Christmas party. So I think we're kind of getting through it now. Brent's on his second date.
This is the most famous scene, I think, isn't it?
Probably. Iconic line.
Always gets shared. Yeah.
So he tells us he's meeting a date in this pub. She's told him she's going to wear a white chiffon scarf to recognise. Turns around, sees a woman in a white chiffon scarf that he's clearly not attracted to. And says, he's absolutely fuming. But that
the brilliant bit about this is what you don't get. Obviously, people have probably seen that clip. For people always share it as a meme and stuff. She says hello, and he goes, he's not even looking at her. He looks the other way, and he goes, huh? Right, really quick. Yeah. Like,
got a drink? Round. Right, sit down. I'll get one. Come over. This is the absolutely horrible side to Brent. This. So
he thinks he could do. He should be doing better than her. When I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, he's genuinely angry, and he doesn't even sort of be polite. He's awful in this date. I mean, he's not speaking for ages. He's fake smiling to camera. She says, "You like classical music?" And he sort of. She names somebody that I can't remember who it is, Grieg or something like that. And he says, yeah, I generally prefer Beethoven, think it's accepted he's best. It's awful. He tells her that, tell me something and I'll tell you a fact about it. And she says, cows. So he says, cows have got four stomachs. And but then I love, there's a bit he mumbles. He goes, well, I don't know why you're looking at me like that. You said cows. Some great little moments in there. And
it's horrible. Again, it's cringe again, though, because Brent's just been such a knobhead.
Well, yeah, and you know, this is a guy who seemingly doesn't have any sort of date in life. Rather than, all right, doesn't have to go any further, but rather than just being polite and enjoy it, he's awful to her, isn't he? Like, he's really, really unpleasant. And then even when she's still in the pub, he's talking to camera at the bar. And he says, you know, I thought when I saw her, oh, well, maybe she's one of the funny, bubbly ones, but she's not. She's nothing. She's bleh. And she turns up right behind him. I mean, she's still there and he's talking about that. It's really, really awful. And this is where you lose a lot of sympathy for him, because his ego is huge without any real reason for it to be that way.
Yeah.
The short scene in there that we need, because we need it for later, sort of setting up the Secret Santa. And we see Tim draws somebody out and says, oh, I don't want him. And Gareth says, is that me? He says, I can't say. And then somebody else says, oh, do you want to swap? Shows him the name. Tim says, yeah. So we know, we're assuming Tim had Gareth, but hasn't anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brilliant scene. Brent brings his dog in.
He brings his dog in. He's got a new dog to bring, and he brings him in to show the office staff. To be fair, they do care. They're all coming around stroking his dog. It's probably the most attention he's got, isn't it?
Nelson is his dog.
He comes back in the office, and no one's really takes any notice of him. But it's called Nelson after the great leader, isn't it? Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, and that guy, I never know his name. He's not a kind of key character in it, but I love where someone who says, brilliant. He says, well, actually, not a great man. He was locked up for war crimes and did plot to destroy public property. And
he's all racist. Oh,
racist.
Points at the black guy, doesn't
he? I was trying to think of his name. I remembered it earlier.
Why his name is. Oh, Oliver's the black guy, isn't it?
Oliver, yeah, that's it. But every time he mentions anyone, like a black actor or anything, he always sort of points or looks at him, doesn't he? Again, really cringy.
Yeah, as if someone,
he finishes by saying, anyway, great man, great dog, which is a line that I love.
Great man, great dog.
But there's a bit in there, I don't know. Again, this is something I never picked up until I was writing down notes for this, but he says, yeah, I've got a dog. I try not to be away for more than two or three nights because it's not fair to lock him up. So is this dog being left on its own for 2 to 3 days?
I don't know, actually. That's another thing. Dog abuser. I don't know. I'm not sure, actually.
It doesn't say it's not fair to lock him up. Unless that's what it means. But yeah, a fantastic scene where Neil comes over and says, can I have a word? And obviously everyone stood around. He says, alone. Brent thinks he means the dog and says, well, he can't understand you. Points at his dog. Fantastic. Brilliant line.
Brilliant. Yeah, he can't understand you.
And this is where Neil lays down the law now. So he says, look, you don't work here. You can't keep coming in. What are you doing here? You're disruptive. You're in here every day. Yeah, and really sort of tells him down. I'll play the clip here. Again, we're doing sort of character assassinations on characters that I really like here, but... Yeah. I used to love this line where I'm going to play something, and I used to love how Tim steps in at the end. But actually, he only does it almost to spy Anne because he doesn't like her.
Yeah.
So. Can't stop me seeing you after work, though. Who wants to go for a drink tomorrow to show? Yeah? Anyone? Short notice. Anyway, what about the day after that? Have a beer. Thursday's good for me, anyway. What's good for you? I can still go for meetings. Of course, sir. Who wants a meeting?
No one wants to have a meeting with you. No one wants to have a drink with you. Don't even work here.
Yeah, I'll have a drink with you tomorrow, David. Give us a call after work, yeah?
Alright. Oh, David. Here he is. Let's get you home, boy, before he bars you from the office.
He is barred.
Oh, taking out on animals. There's your evidence.
So now we're almost Brent at a low point now. I mean, we've said he's already at a low point. This is arguably even lower. He's had two dates that have been disastrous. Yeah. He's sat on his own in the service station, and then we see him at another event, and he's throwing out T-shirts, waving to people, and a bottle's thrown. It absolutely smacks him on the head. I don't know kind of what...
Yeah, it does, yeah. Yeah.
You know, obviously, he took a bruise for the cause, didn't he, Gervais, for that one, because it whacks him right in the middle of the head.
Yeah,
and then he's talking about how.
I bet he wanted to do that to Gervais. Fucking stop winning about atheism. I mean, someone actually threw it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably Merchant probably threw it, didn't he? But
yeah.
He tells us about how he got pants thrown at him. He says, and I know that they smeared Marmite in the gusset to make it look like other stuff. But and I love there his agent kind of thinking out loud. He goes, how would they have had Marmite with them? They must have prepared that at home because they knew you were on. Brent says, that'll make me feel better. But then, yeah, his agent tells him, I love the name drop celebrities. When we did some writing, we used to love dropping in different, like, random celebrities. Yeah. But I love, I'll tell you what, I've seen this before. I've seen this with Bruno Brooks. Brilliant name dropping. And Bruno, another sort Bruno of Brooks. Iconic sort of, another meme generated by the office this one. So this is Brent back in his hotel room. He's got a cigar and he's got a whiskey, and then he does his rant about Neil will make mistakes. If I says that, and they'll drag him out by his hair and they'll ask for Brent to come back, and he says, yeah, well, I hope you've got some money because this is going to cost you.
Yeah, the next minute him asleep,
just asleep on his just bed, just tragic. Yeah, it's just a sad man asleep on his own. We're getting ready for the party now, and I know this is kind of common knowledge now, so I'm probably not telling you anything you don't know, but this is Stephen Merchant's dad pops up in this. He's in all the different series. He's carrying a table as he set up for the party. If you didn't know that,
brilliant.
Believe it or not, he's a tall, wanky chap. So, yeah.
He just looks like a cap.
Yeah. Another brilliant scene where Brent comes in. He's so overexcited. He's like a little child. We've played a lot of clips. I think we've got to play this one. He's coming in ready for the office party.
I'm coming up, so you better get a party started. Shamon! I'm coming up, I'm coming. Hope not. I'm in the pink. I'm in the pink. Do you want to see it?
I get it.
Yeah, pink. She's good. She's wicked.
Oh, come to the party?
Big time. What time's the meal beforehand? I think I better line my stomach.
This was like, I don't know if you remember this, when it came out, The Office, like this Christmas special, this was like part of the trailer that they showed. It was like, coming up this Christmas, Return of The Office, and that was the clip they showed, Shamon. Then he was one in the pink. Yeah, she's wicked.
He's come in really excited about this meal, but Gareth told him, and it's Neil's decision, that only present workers are allowed at the meal. So Brent says he's not bothered, he doesn't want to go. But as everyone's leaving, he says, what am I going to do for 3 hours? He's got 3 hours just to potter around the office on his own.
He just stays in the office for 3 hours,
To demonstrate he's not bored, the last sort of shot as they're leaving, he potters over to the photocopier and just opens it up to have a look. Brilliant.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
So we come back. Party's in full motion now. Music's on. We've got Finchie making a few gags. Neil comes in and asks Brent again where his date is, clearly having a dig at him. He says, well, she'll be here between half 9 and 10. He says, well, it's nearly 10. Yeah, nearly 10's not 10, is it? God, like, there's so sort of so much hostility between the two.
Yeah.
There's a bit, I don't know if I want to play this. Cause I had to skip it when I watched it a second time because I found it so cringeworthy, this bit. It's when Lee and Dawn come into the office and Tim talks to him and he says, here they are. Whoa, the American couple. It's so bad. I'm not even going to play it.
But I think it's great acting again, though, because he's so awkward, especially around Lee. This is the first time he's seen Lee. Lee obviously knows that Tim has twice tried to get with his girlfriend. And he's, he's so awkward. He's like, the American couple. I don't know what to say. Do you know what I mean?
And you get a feeling Lee's not that bothered, but Tim.
No, I don't think Lee sees him as. You don't see him as any threat, I don't think, Lee.
We go to Brent outside. He's waiting for his date. I mean, he's rolling the dice here. This is, you know, he's had two disastrous dates, and his third one is coming to the office party. So, yeah, I might as well play the clip because it is so good. He stood outside waiting, and he thinks it's all gone wrong again.
I don't believe it. Look at this.
Hello.
You're
right.
Yeah.
Is Monkey in there?
Oh yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, no, I'm expecting a blind date and I was worried. Do you remember it? No. Yeah, so he's up there, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm not sure, by the way, I think we've had this chat before, but I think Monkey Allen, he's never seen in this, is he? I think he's just.
I don't think Monkey Allen's ever seen. Yeah, and it's such a good name, Monkey Allen.
And it goes to, like, because the question was sort of famous sitcom characters that you never see. And there's, I'm guessing it's not, because I don't think Merchant and Gervais are impressed by Only Fools and Horses. But I wonder if it's a nod to Monkey Harris, because he's a famous Only Fools character who's never seen.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I'm not sure, actually. Yeah, but I don't think you see Monkey Allen. There's one. No. Who's that when he. When he goes, it's my dog shagging his dog. That's not Monkey Allen, is it?
No, I can't remember his name. He's the warehouse.
Taffy. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And obviously he's coming back in shortly. But yeah, so it goes to Tim again. He's still having this really awkward chat with Lee and Dawn. And basically she says she's not doing the art anymore. And again, this is where Lee's not just distant. This is where he's almost sort of hostile towards her, because he sort of says, well, yeah, the problem is, to make any money out of art, you've got to be good at it. And Dawn just kind of looks sad that, yeah, she's given up on the stream and he's got no interest in it at all and just doesn't think she's good enough. Yeah. Brent's date turns up. She's called Carol, and he's absolutely delighted. He takes her the long way around so she can walk past Finchie and Neil.
She has
a really good line in there where it says something like, can I get you a wine or a cider or something? And she says, no, I'm watching my figure. She says, I'll have a pint of vodka. And he looks genuinely like terrified. She says, no, I'm only joking. And he's sort of like out loud, just says, oh, phew, thought they sent me an alky.
Yeah, he's brilliant. I love that. Yeah, thought they sent me an alky.
Yeah, so they're having a chat and she's laughing at all the right times. She's engaged. He's quite honest with her as well. He sort of says, you know, it's a bit of a farce. My agent's a bit of a joke. But she says, well, you know what? You're doing what you want to do. You know, no one could take that away from you.
Because you're making money. You know, who's the idiot? You know, you're making money. You might just be waving, but they're paying you.
Exactly, yeah. And they seem to hit it off. Gareth is doing his kind of managerial bit at the party. He walks over to some guy, don't he? I can't quite hear who he says, but he goes, hey, Marquee or something. He goes, you're barred.
Yeah.
And the guy barely even acknowledges him. He just turns to look at him.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Which is a throwback to Brent, I think.
He sort of sees himself
as the life of the party, but nobody's actually that interested in him being there.
Yeah.
So this is where it's such a kind of well-written moment, this now. You get the warehouse guy. I don't know if Taffy is the smaller guy or is it, but anyway, the head of the warehouse, he's smoking a, I think it's just a cigarette. I don't think it's a cigar, but he's smoking near Anne, the financial woman who we've kind of been taking down the route to really dislike. She has a go at him and tells him, can you not smoke around me and my unborn baby? And this is his response.
Do you mind not smoking near me?
Sorry?
Do you mind not smoking near me? Hello, I am pregnant.
Yeah, and this is a party.
I don't really care about the party. I care about my unborn child.
Yeah, well, maybe you should fuck off home then if you're pregnant, you daisy care.
What did you say?
You think we care as much about your baby as you do? Just because you let some useless toss of loads of beans up your mouth. Well done. Merry fucking Christmas.
Which, I mean, it's such a kind of crass, awful response. But you kind of find yourself thinking, yes, he's sold her.
Yeah, because she gets to come up and, she's like upset everybody throughout the episodes. And then it's a shame
actually to give that line to him, because he has no comeuppance. But I suppose he doesn't care, does he? But
I think he's a great character, this guy, because he is. You've worked with people like that. I've worked with people like that. Just a complete knobhead who doesn't give a shit like what he says to anyone. He, you know, thinks he's a bit of an art case or whatever.
Yeah. He's obviously brought down a peg, and yeah, I mean, you, like I say, it's almost like a yes, she got told, even though it's a horrible moment. And obviously, Tim and Dawn are having some banter. They're laughing about it. They're sort of jumping about on the sofas. You've got Brent and Carol laughing. You've got Here It Is, Merry Christmas playing in the background. I think Brent has spent a lot of time choosing songs for the end of this. We know that he likes to do that sort of thing, but Merry Christmas is playing. Here it is, Merry Christmas. Tim and Dawn having a great time.
To be honest, like.
What is it called?
I don't think you needed to sing it.
Merry Christmas. What's it
called? I think it is Merry Christmas, everybody, isn't it?
Merry Christmas, everyone. No, that's a different song. I don't know. But anyway.
Oh, anyway, fucking hell. Go on.
It's Christmas. It's that one, isn't it?
Here it is.
Merry Christmas. Yeah, so that one's playing. So obviously, Dawn and Tim are having a laugh. Lee is playing darts with the rest of the warehouse boys. And we're kind of getting to the end of the episode now. And Dawn's behind the reception desk. Gareth comes over and tells us she's not allowed there. We get Tim and Dawn winding Gareth up with more banter about him being gay. And Lee comes over and basically just puts a stop to it all and says, they're just winding you up, mate. They're making gay jokes.
They're winding you up, mate. Yeah, they're making gay jokes. And he's not. So that's it. They can't do it anymore. I mean, on the one hand, Lee's a dick, but on the other hand, they are taking the piss. Do you know what I mean? Out of him. So, I don't know.
Supposedly, that's the last moment. And there's, again, it's so sort of clever, but a bit over-sentimental, but it works. So, as Tim and Dawn are saying goodbye, it's Need Some Love by the Spice Girls is playing. And then kind of literally at the point where Lee says, come on, we're going, it's Want You Back For Good playing, Take That comes on, which is a brilliant intro to a song anyway, and a brilliant song. But it does work. I mean, it's corny and it's cheesy, but it does fit. It's brilliant. And
yeah.
I have to say, watching that, she walks out with Lee. You kind of... If you like your sentimental moments, you're kind of thinking and hoping that as she walks out, she stops and turns and looks back and...
Yeah.
No, hold on a minute.
She doesn't know. I don't want to go.
No, walks out, doesn't look back, carries on, she's off.
You think that's it, yeah.
And that's it. And we get Tim with his chat on philosophy. Again, lots of clips, but I'll play another clip. This is Tim explaining that what he thought of Dawn.
The people you work with are people you were just thrown together with. You don't know them. It wasn't your choice. And yet you spend more time with them than you do your friends or your family. But probably all you've got in common is the fact that you walk around on the same bit of carpet for 8 hours a day. And so, obviously, when someone comes in who you have a connection with, and Dawn was a ray of sunshine in my life, and it meant a lot. But if I'm really being honest, I never really thought it would have a happy ending.
I think this is a great... Yeah, this is why I think The Office is held in esteem as much as it is. It's not just a comedy, is it? I think this is... I think that's a fantastic speech from Tim there. Really sad.
Yeah, and he's kind of accepted that, you know, it's just not worked for him. It's not happened, and that's fine, and life goes on.
Yeah.
The whole bit now hinges on her opening the Secret Santa at the right time. So she opens it in a taxi, but I think if she opened it on the plane... What would happen?
Fate, mate. The fickle. Oh, and it's a fictional thing. But I think this. And I'd like to know I'd like to know what happened in that taxi for her to say, I'm getting out and you don't, see you later. Like, where's Lee gone?
Yeah, there's an awful lot kind of carried over. Maybe we don't need to know, but yeah, there's an awful lot sort of skipped over in a few minutes. We're getting towards the end.
I've got a feeling this is pure Gervais. I think this is Gervais.
I think he wanted to cram in lots of different sort of song moments, and I think it wasn't important to Gervais how it happened. Which in some ways it isn't. I don't think it's badly written.
No, I agree. I mean, you, I don't like the ending to this, I have to admit, but that's probably just because I'm a bit of a knobhead. And I think what I liked about Office is how real it is. But anyway, carry on and I'll get to that.
So yeah, she opens up the Secret Santa and it's from Tim, and he's bought her an art set, and it's a picture that she doodled of him earlier on, which is quite good. And he's written on it, Never Give Up.
And yeah.
Great acting. You can see her welling up. We don't actually see, again, what you just said. We just see the taxi carrying on into the distance and that's it.
Yeah.
And then we see Brent explaining why he got on so well with Carol. It tells us that for him to be attracted to a woman, she has to be as intelligent or slightly less than him. And she is. So yeah. It's all good.
Which she is. Yeah. Brilliant. That. Love that line.
And then she tells us that she found him funny. She wants to meet again. He wants to try a Thai food. He's sort of skulking around in the background trying to listen in. Really good. He sees her off out the door. Another iconic clip here. So he comes back in and he walks up to Neil and Chris Finch. And this is the short clip.
Well done. I was going to say, Leeds are doing well.
What?
Lucky. Well, they're in the league, they do.
What are you talking about? You don't have a lot of football.
Guilty, I support Reading.
No, you don't support them. When did you last go to all that?
Nah, I support football more than them.
Yeah, well, I'm more of a rugby man, I know.
Admit it. So,
no dog with you today, David.
Well, you don't see it. Should have left.
Chris.
Yeah.
Why don't you fuck off?
I think Neil's a knobhead again here, because he's laughing along with Finch. Oh, she just left. It's a right knobhead thing to do. I know he don't like him and stuff, but I think this is like probably maybe to get sympathy more with Brent. Neil is sort of goading him on in here a bit.
Yeah, and it's kind of the difference with Brent and Finch is Finch was always kind of mocking Brent, whereas these two feel a bit like it's bullying. It's two people picking on somebody. And yeah, he kind of holds his own and he tells Finch to fuck off, and it is a good moment. I love this bit. So we're coming to the very ending now. You don't like it, but, and I understand why. It's a bit over sentimental. It's got Gervais all over it, this, but it's a song that I love playing. So Only You by Yaz. Is it Yaz or Yazoo?
Yazoo. Yaz is the only way he's up. Very different band.
Yazoo. So that's playing in the background. I won't sing it, but It's so well done, this, because I love how it's a throwback to the kind of the start of The Office that we loved. So it's Brent talking to Gareth and Tim, and he's giving him a logic problem. He's saying, so the doctor says, I can't operate. He's my son. And they're asking questions and they're thinking, I think it's the puzzle where the doctor is a woman. That's the kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and as we're doing this, the song's playing in the background. We see Dawn come back in through the way she left, comes over, kisses Tim as the song's playing. Gareth says, well, I won't do that. Be careful. She's got a fiance. She says, not anymore. And there's a fantastic moment there where Brent looks around and he's got such a kind of proud smile. I think it's like a sort of fatherly smile there. I think it.
He
just kind of, some of them look shocked. Like he just looks kind of happy that that's worked out for him. So I just think it's a fantastic moment. They go off together.
I get why people like it. We've talked about it before on endings and stuff, and I've gone against it. I don't think it's a terrible ending or anything. I would have liked a bit of misery for one of. I know it doesn't end like on a massive eye for Brent. He just has a good day. It's not that, but I would have liked a bit. I don't know. I think I'd have preferred it if they stayed apart, just for the realism side of it. But I get why. It's just a TV show, isn't it?
Yeah, and it just felt like it wrapped it up nicely. And at the end of the day, we're not. We've not skipped forward 10 years to Tim and Dawn happily married and they've got kids.
No.
It's only there's nothing to say anything works after this. It's just a moment that at least they're going to give it a go. And I think it's brilliant. It brought a tear to my eye when I watched it. I just think it's really well done. It is a little bit over soppy, but I think it works for a Christmas thing.
Fair. And then the very ending, isn't it?
What I was going to say is what's great is that's not the very ending. So, is this what you were going to say? Do you want to explain the very end? So it doesn't finish there.
At the very ending, is they try and get a photo of the old team, which is quite good. She's got, I think, Gareth's in there, isn't he? Yeah, Gareth's in there. Yeah. Obviously, Dawn, Tim. And he starts doing a Frank Spencer impression, like David Bowie, in fact, doesn't he? He goes, oh, we did a bit of a whoopsie, because the woman can't get the camera to start. But what I found really good is they're all laughing. And it's one of the few times where Brent tries to be funny and people are laughing with him. And yeah. I kind of like that. Like so, it's been like end of the perfect night for him, that he's got people actually laughing at him.
Yeah, and this is, again, this is one of the reasons I think it's such a good ending, because he's basically just had a good day. And, you know, that's it. It's just a moment of not misery in Brent's life, where not everybody's laughing at him. Yeah. Not everybody's...
I think the Brent ending is perfect. I think he has a decent day. It comes across as that she's a bit... You can tell it's not really going to last, because she's normal and she finds him funny, but she's also really confused by a few things he says. Like, so when she says, when he goes, you know, just because I headbutted her, and she goes, her? Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, she's just like really confused. And he's talking about no woman, no cry, innit? Like when he goes, Oliver, who's the office black guy, you know, he said he was brilliant. So what's that? Oh, yeah. It's like she's really confused looking at him.
Well, obviously, they did Life on the Road without Merchant.
Elephant in the room.
Don't recognise it. Well, ignore that for now. Where do you think this goes for Brent from here? Do you think he becomes successful as an entertainer? Do you think does he end up back in an office job? But if you forget Life on the Road and that storyline from this moment when it finished, what did you picture happening next for Brent?
I think he carries on doing this for a couple of years. His date don't go anywhere. I think it's a sad ending. I think he just does this forever, basically. And I think his entertainment things sort of peter out, because obviously he's not famous anymore. Well, he's not famous at all anyway, really. But and I think it peters out and he just becomes a door-to-door, you know, salesman, whatever that is that he's doing.
Do you think he ever gets back in the office? Do you think, as he says, Neil will make a mistake? No.
No, Neil's a good boss. Like, you know what I mean? He's a very professional person. I think even if Neil left as well, they won't have him back because of what happened last time.
But as we said, like when he shows his, Inside Paper magazine, Get Manager of the Month, pull a silly face. I think this is not massively insightful. He clearly is capable of being a good manager. Do you think that's just gone now?
Yeah, I think he's got, obviously won the thing above Neil as well. People have not seen him on about, but obviously he was voted
to be the boss
of both branches, and he just failed because of his blood pressure. I think he was a good boss, but I think once the cameras came in, he thought, right, this is my moment to be an entertainer. And it's gone as wrong as it possibly could have for him, because he sees himself as like a writer and a comedian and, you know, he writes short stories and things like that. And all he's known for. Yeah, and game shows and stuff. And all he's known for is being that dickhead from the office. He's getting bottles thrown at him. He's going to nightclubs. And that'll obviously peter out. I think it's a really sad ending. Bullet in the brain. No, I don't think he'd do himself in or anything, but I think he'd just carry on doing this.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Right, so that's The Office. That's probably going to be the longest one, I would have thought, of all the crew. We wanted to get it out of the way. It's obviously a two-part, and it's a show that we love. If you haven't seen it, just go and watch it. It's fucking brilliant. One of the best bits of TV.
It'll be on over Christmas as well, so yeah, make sure you watch it. It's on iPlayer.
Watch it. All of them are iPlayer, so go and watch it. Brilliant. Change of scenery next week, though, isn't it, Liam? What we're going to try and do to make sure we can get 12 out is some of the episodes are going to be watch along. We did a watch along for WWE, and some people seem to like it, and they're like, yeah, what else have you got? but they're easy for us to do because we don't have to do any research, no clips and stuff. So we're going to do a couple of watch alongs this Christmas, and we're going to try one next. And the first one we're going to try, we're going to watch along to the He-Man and She-Ra Christmas special.
Yeah, we don't know if we saw this as kids, but we have no memory of it at all, either of us. So this would be an interesting one.
No.
Yeah, this could be anything. Give it a chance. Let's see.
This is like, but the thing is with this one, we were going to do it as a normal episode, but I looked at the synopsis for it, and it's like fucking Lord of the Rings. So instead of just going, and then this happened, and then that happened, and then this happened, we're just going to do it as it comes, and we're just going to basically point at E-Man and say, look at this dickhead. So that'll be a laugh. December 1985. If anyone wants to watch it, it's called Human and She-Ra, a Christmas special.
Yeah, and that's important to mention. It is a Christmas episode. We're not just picked a December He-Man. It is a Christmas episode of He-Man and She-Ra. So, yeah, if you want to get on board before we watch it, these should be coming at you thick and fast through December. So get your ass in gear and get it watched.
Yeah, big time. Right, enjoy that, Liam, and I'll see you in a couple of days.
Certainly will. If anyone wants to get in touch with us, send us anything, find us on Twitter at livingwithmade1, or you can send us an email at livingwithmadeley@outlook.com. Living